In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they would say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
マルコの福音書11章20節から26節まで日本語でお読みします。朝早く道を通っていると、彼らは先のイチジクが根元から枯れているのを見た。そこでペテロは思い出してイエスに言った。先生、ご覧なさい、あなたが呪われたイチジクが枯れています。イエスは答えて言われた。神を信じなさい。よく聞いておくがよい。誰でもこの山に動き出して海の中に入れと言い、その言ったことは必ずなると心に疑わないで信じるなら、その通りになるであろう。そこであなた方に言うが、何でも祈り求めることはすでに叶えられたと信じなさい。そうすればその通りになるであろう。また立って祈るとき、誰かに対して何か恨み事があるならば許してやりなさい。そうすれば天にいますあなた方の父もあなた方の過ちを許してくださるであろう。もし許さないならば天にいますあなた方の父もあなた方の過ちを許してくださらないであろう。
Good morning. How are you doing?Doing all right, all right, good. We're doing a series on prayer, praying, the art of prayer. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about the four different types of prayer, right? You guys remember that? There's petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. And those four, they have different aspects to them. Today, I want to talk about seeing our prayers answered.Now, how many of us has 100% of our prayers answered? No? Okay, good. Me neither. I think, even Jesus had one prayer that he had to say, Lord, your will be done and not mine. And so that's 99.999% of Jesus' prayers were answered because he said, Lord, would you take this cup from me?I guess it was answered because he said, Lord, your will be done, but not mine. So his was 100%, right? Jesus was 100%. And Jesus created disciples. And we're his disciples now. And so I think it's important if our prayers are like 20% that we kind of learn how to pray. if I like basketball, and if you're only shooting 20%, I don't know, three-point line? From the three-point line? Does that make sense to you guys? Well, anyways, if your shooting percentage is only 20%, people aren't going to pass you the ball, okay? And if you shoot and if you're only 20%, people are going to get upset and say, don't shoot the ball as much. Well, when it comes to prayer, if our prayer is only 20%, how about we try to grow?How about we try to get better? So that's why I'm doing this series on prayers. Hopefully with this series, we could get our prayers up 40%, 50%, 60%. I don't know. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And so our prayer life, it's possible to grow in that as well. And to see more of our prayers answered. And so I want to talk about the art of praying andI won't be here next week, but the week after I want to talk about forgiveness. But this week I want to talk about faith in prayer. Faith in prayer. But before I continue on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, You who created the heavens and the earth, you who created the seas and the trees, the cactus, you who created each and every one of us in your image, you who so extravagantly paints the sky and put the mountain in place, Lord, we come before you and ask that you teach us your ways, that we could walk in your truth, that we can be a community, a church that prays powerful and effective prayers. Father, that when you return, when your Son Jesus Christ returns, you will find faith, at least in this community. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. The story we just read, it talks about Jesus cursing a fig tree. And I'm not going to talk about these elements about prayer, but it's interesting to note. In verse 23, he says, "Truly I tell you, say to this mountain, move." And so one thing about prayer is it's important not to just think it, but to actually say it. Not to just think in your head, keep your mouth shut, but Jesus specifically says, say. And so when it comes to praying, it's important to say it. Speak it out loud. It doesn't have to be a shout. It can be under your breath. And so when we did the exercise, Holy Spirit, come, it wasn't meant for you to just think it, but to actually say it, even under your breath. Holy Spirit, come. Because, I don't know why. I don't know why he just doesn't, Jesus doesn't say you can say it or think it. He says say it. There's another reason. There's another thing here I want to point out that I'm not going to really talk about too much. It's in 26. It says, when you stand praying. You notice that? When you stand praying. Not that posture matters, but the Jewish people, they stood and prayed a lot instead of kneeled and prayed. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're standing or kneeling, I don't think, but that's what Jesus says. When you're standing and praying, and then he talks about forgiveness. But today I want to talk about faith. In 22, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. Now, faith is a foundation, not just in seeing prayers answered, but it's foundational to walk with God. In fact, in Hebrews it says, you can't please God unless you have faith. Amen. Unless you have faith, you cannot please God. And if you read through the Gospels, one thing that Jesus really gets excited about is faith. There was this one man who had great faith, and Jesus got really excited. He said, wow, you have really great faith. Jesus really doesn't say wow too often. I don't know if in Aramaic they say wow, but so faith is foundational. Jesus gets excited about faith. Paul talks about the three foundations of a person's walk with God is faith, hope, and love. So faith is just as important, perhaps just as important as love and hope here on this side of eternity. And so I want to talk about faith a little bit. And faith, the first thing I want to say is faith in God is more than just human belief and confidence. It's not something we could just muster up. Although we all have faith in certain things, when it comes to seeing prayers answered, you can't just say, okay, if I believe hard enough, it's going to happen. I'm sure you guys tried that. No? I tried that. I said, if I just believe hard enough, then it'll probably happen. And sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. It wasn't like it's 100% success rate. And so there's something about faith that Jesus here is talking about that isn't just confidence or self-belief or I believe in myself. Even though those things are powerful. Now, I'm not saying that they have no value. You know, you see outside of church a lot of people with faith that accomplishes a lot because of their self-belief or just belief in general. I remember, you know, gosh, I wish I had more analogies other than basketball analogies, but what can I say? I grew up a basketball guy. But there was this a guy, his name was Spud Webb. This guy named Spud Webb. You guys probably don't know him. Wayne knows him. He's in Wayne's generation. But he's about 5'7", about this tall. And I actually saw him at the LAX airport one time, and I stood next to him just to see if he was really 5'7". And I'm actually taller than him. Spud Webb is about the NBA, was a professional basketball player, this tall. And he entered the slam dunk contest. In the NBA, there's a slam dunk contest, and you know they score points based on style. This guy that was 5'7" went up against this man named Dominique Wilkins. If you don't know that name, he is one of the best dunkers that ever played in professional basketball. Spud Webb, 5'7", he actually won the slam dunk contest, doing like 360 dunks and off the backboard dunks. He was doing amazing things at 5'7". And they interviewed him, and he said, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, no one's going to believe in you. And so he displayed a tremendous amount of faith in himself. You guys know Jim Carrey, comedian, very popular. Okay, so this isn't, so I get to connect with more people when I use like comedians and instead of athletes. Okay, Jim Carrey, before he became rich, He got a check, and I believe he said, on the check he said, he wrote $1 million written to Jim Carrey. And he put that like on a wall or something. And he said, I'm going to become a millionaire one day.
I had it in his wallet.
Oh, he had it in his wallet. There he goes. Should have done my research. He had it in his wallet. And he had such self-belief in himself. And guess what? Today he is, you know, a millionaire, multi-millionaire. And so faith is important outside of the church, but within the church, when it talks about mountain moving faith, you can't just muster that up now, can you? Because Jesus in this context is talking about moving mountains. And so I want to talk about faith, how it affects prayers. And in 1 John 5:4, it says, whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Did you see that? Whatever is born of God, our faith. And so the faith that we need to learn how to tap into, activate, cultivate, and protect is not necessarily a strong self-belief. Again, I'm not saying that's not important, but it's a faith that is born of God. God will give you certain amount of faith, a certain measure of faith for each and every one of you. That's biblical. He will give you that faith, and it's with that faith that oftentimes we can pray. And if we pray according to that faith, it will happen. So if God gives you faith to move a mountain, then that mountain will be moved if you pray according to that faith. If God gives you faith to move mountains, and then you say to that mountain, mountain be moved, that mountain will be moved, and it has nothing to do with your own confidence or self-reliance or your own strength, but it's that faith that God planted in you. And so faith is a gift that can be received from God and cannot be generated by us. In praying and seeing our prayers answered, it must first be in God and also from God. It has to be in God and also from God. I'm just going to say faith is also our guarantee from God for our victory and that our prayers will be answered. Let me tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, the war was won. Basically, Jesus said, it is finished, it's done, we win. But there's still battles that wages. And can we lose battles? Yes. Can we lose the war? No. But there are some battles that can be lost even if you're a Christian. And so when we look at 1 John 5:4, it says, whatever is born of God, and he talks in that birthing analogy in our faith, there can be spiritual miscarriages. And what do I mean by spiritual miscarriages? I mean that God can give you faith for something, but for one reason or another, it might not be fulfilled. God can give you faith for something, but for one reason or another, it might not go fulfilled. Now, we all know something about being pregnant, right? Even though you may not have been pregnant, but obviously I've never been pregnant. But I know certain things about pregnancies, even though my wife has never been pregnant either. You know, I know when you're pregnant, you can't eat certain food, right? Yes? Oh yeah, I'm guessing now. when you're pregnant, you can't drink certain things, right? Yes? I'm trying not to make eye contact with people that have not been pregnant. So, but if I make eye contact with you, I'm assuming you've been pregnant before. So if you've been pregnant, then you can't drink wine if you like wine. If you were a smoker, it's probably best if you don't smoke anymore. If you just can't eat certain things, you have to stay away from certain places. You probably shouldn't be in the club if you're pregnant. Just smart things. Amen? And it's not like I'm telling you something you don't know, right? You guys all know that, right? That's not new. Okay, good. That's not new. Good. Okay. Spiritually, though, do we have that kind of information? Is there common knowledge about spiritually being pregnant? Is there even such a thing? If I said, if God gave you faith for so-and-so, you're not supposed to eat cheese. Okay. You'd be like, what? That's not true. I just made that up. But when you're spiritually pregnant with something, just like if you're physically pregnant with something, there are certain things you should avoid in your life. Certain places probably you shouldn't be. One of those things that miscarries when God gives us faith, and I think this may be common, is doubt. Is doubt. When God gives you faith for something, guess what Satan throws at you? People that will give you doubt. Is that not true? You know, for some reason God birthed like this dream in your life. Guess who's going to be probably the first one that says you can't do it? People closest to you, for some reason. And it's not like malicious either. They're just looking out for your best interest. But it's just doubt will bring miscarriage and seeing prayers go answered. Even self-doubt. But it really isn't self-doubt. You know what it is? It's just agreeing. Me and Kazuo was talking this morning. But it's agreeing with what Satan is saying. And when you come into agreement, you know, say you have faith to see your friend saved, or you have faith to go to Japan and do missions, or you have faith to do just something for the Lord. Guess who's going to say you can't do that? Satan will, wouldn't he? Guess what? When Satan says you can't do that, and then you start repeating, I can't do that. That's a very poisonous kind of, just like maybe alcohol or certain drugs or certain, certain narcotics can poison your pregnancy and even kill the fetus in your body. Words like that are very poisonous, toxic. And if you live in an environment like that, and if you're with people that continues to say that, you better be very strong that it doesn't get into you and you start saying it. It doesn't matter if other people say it, but then when you start saying it, then it's a problem spiritually. Then there's possibilities for spiritual miscarriages. And the thing that God gave you faith for, the measure of faith that God gave you, can sometimes be aborted. I want to talk a little bit more about faith. What is faith then? It's from God. We know it's from God. But what is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11:1. If you have your Bibles, if not, you can look at it on the screen. But Hebrews 11:1 gives us what faith is. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. It gives us two characteristics of faith. One of what it is, another of what it looks like. Assurance is what it is. Conviction is what it looks like. Faith from God is assurance and conviction. I want to talk about assurance. Assurance in the Greek is actually like a title deed. Assurance in the Greek is like a title deed. But it's a title deed oftentimes of something that we don't have possession of. So if the bank gives you a title deed to a car, then you have a piece of paper that says this car is now your car. But you actually don't have the car yet, right? You have to go and get the car from the person that has it. Now if the person that has it is a car dealer and just gives you the car, that's fine. If a person that has it is somebody that's using it to go to work and all this other stuff, it might not be fine. You might have a fight on your hand. But legally, that car is yours. Now, faith, that's basically what it is. It's a legal document given to you by God and saying, that's now yours. What I just told you about, it is now yours. Go and get it. There's a story, story of Lazarus. You guys know that story, Lazarus? It's a story about a man named Lazarus that Jesus was friends with. And he had, Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they were all pretty close friends with Jesus. Lazarus was sick. They sent word to Jesus to come and heal him, because they were really close friends. When Jesus arrives on the scene, Lazarus is already dead. And they already started the mourning process, and Lazarus was already in the tomb, and his tomb was already, the rock was rolled and sealed, and Jesus was too late. But Jesus says something interesting. He says, "Have faith in God. Didn't I not tell you that I am the resurrection?" And so Jesus gave Mary and Martha a title deed to Lazarus' resurrection. Mary and Martha, though, they had a choice. In the story, Jesus goes to the tomb and he says, "Roll away the rock." And Mary and Martha are saying, "Well, Lord, by now his body surely stinketh. It smells by now." And Jesus says, "You have the title deed, don't you?" Now see, Mary and Martha, they had a choice. Because when Jesus said, "Roll the rock," Mary and Martha had to tell the servants, "Roll the rock." Or they could have just said, "No, just leave the rock there." See, they had a choice whether to cash in on the title deed that God gave them or just put it on the ground and say, you know what? No, it's too late. It's okay. We'll see him when we go to heaven. And Jesus is saying, hey, you have a title deed. Go cash it in. And so imagine if Mary and Martha said, no, 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 just leave the rock there. It's okay. They would have never saw the resurrection of Lazarus. See, in our lives, there are some things that God has given you the title deed to. And there are some times we say, no, it's okay. You're right. It's too hard. Or you're right. You know, I'll never do that. Or I'll never become that person that I thought I was supposed to be. I'll never become that doctor, or I'll never become that nurse, or I'll never amount to anything. Just like you say, I will never amount to anything. And you put that title deed down. And it's a miscarriage. You had the legal right to do something by God, from God. But in this world, Satan does not want to let go of some things. Satan will intimidate you. He will say no. He'll say, what are you going to do about it? He'll say, this is my car. I don't care about your title deeds. Have you ever dealt with people like that? Where you're like, this is mine. They're like, no. Well, the teacher said it's mine. It's like, no. Like, you see that at school all the time, right? No? Is it just me that I got bullied at school? Come on, somebody. Help me. Amen. Praise God. I got to encourage myself right now. But, you know, it happened at school all the time, right? The teacher says, oh, you could do that. Or the teacher tells you, okay, I'm gonna be vulnerable. So the teacher told me to sit there, to sit at a chair, you know? It was next to this girl. I didn't think she was pretty. But somebody else thought she was pretty, and somebody else wanted to sit next to that girl. But it was my chair, so I sat there. And then that boy, he wanted to sit there, so he just yanked me out of my chair, and I'm like, okay, you got the chair. But legally, in the school room, in the classroom, that was my chair. But I let the other kid have the chair because it wasn't worth getting beat up over. But there are some things that are worth getting beat up over, isn't there? There are some things that are worth fighting for. And when you have a legal right to it, guess what? If you fight for it, you have the law on your side. Spiritually, if you fight for it and you get a fight back, guess who's backing you up? God is. And if God is for us, then who could stand against us? If God gives you something, then who could say no? Let me tell you, Satan, the greater it is, the bigger the fight's going to be. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a fight. Now, some of us, we're not ready to fight yet. Some of us, one punch in the gut and we're like, okay, forget it, you can have it. Satan, you can have it. Satan, you can have my family, go ahead. Okay, Satan, you can have my dream of becoming this, go ahead. It's just not worth it. Let me tell you, if you continue to live that way, your prayer life, 20% might be really good. But seeing prayers answered at a more consistent rate, it requires a fight sometimes. God will give you faith, you're going to pray for it, and you might get punched in the gut. You get punched in the gut, call Wayne up and Wayne will teach you how to box because Wayne used to box. Or guess what? Hey, guess what happens if you get punched in the gut? Call me up and call some of your other friends up and say, hey, can you pray for me? Guess what that looks like in the spirit? That looks like you coming with a bunch of your friends to get your stuff when you have other people praying for you. So sometimes it's like, okay, maybe I can't do this by myself, but I have faith for it. I'm going to call my friends, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to get our stuff together. Amen? So faith, legally what it is, it's like having a document, a title deed. What it looks like conviction. Conviction of things not seen. Now conviction is just an inner belief that influences you outwardly. It's interesting, in Revelation 21:8, it talks about all the people that can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you would expect some of these people. Murderers can't go into the kingdom of heaven. Adulterers cannot go into the kingdom of heaven. And there's this list of things that people cannot go into the kingdom of heaven. One of those people that cannot go into the kingdom of heaven, though, are the cowardly. And you're like, what? I can see murderers and adulterers, but the cowardly? Really? They can't enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, it says in Revelation 21:8 that the cowardly would not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's exactly what it looks like. It's those people who has been promised the things of God, but don't want to fight because they're scared. If your life is dictated by fear, and if it's not the fear of God, you are not living the life God wants you to live. There are some things where God will say, take courage. And courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is in the face of fear, walking forward. It's in the face of fear that you continue on. Cowardly people, the first sign of fear, they'll back off. And so the Christian walk, seeing prayers answered, foundational to who we are and who we're called to be, faith, hope, and love. Faith is title deed and conviction. Assurance and conviction, and it says it persistently presses towards the unseen until it is seen. Presses towards the unseen until it is seen. Now what are those unseen things that God has planted in your life that has still yet to be realized? Starting today, it's 70 days before Easter. And I asked last week, and if you still need time, that's fine. But I asked last week to think of three friends or family members that are not saved. And I want you to pray to God to ask you for three names or friends who are not saved, so that we collectively as a church can pray for them and hopefully be able to invite them here Easter Sunday, and then I could bring a powerful message. But I'll bring a message about salvation, and perhaps they would come to know the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so if you have those three names, I would like to have them. If you give me those three names, just don't tell me, but if you could write it down somewhere, if you give me those three names, I will commit to pray for them every day by name. I already got three. I'll pray for yours too. And we'll come together and say, hey, God gave me faith for these three names. We have the title deeds. Satan, give those people up. They're for the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your gift of faith. Lord, even now we pray that the things you have given us faith for, we could protect, we could cultivate, we could have conviction and assurance of those things. Father, even the ones we might have let go of, if they're still valid, if it has not expired yet, Lord, we pray that we could pick those up. Lord, we do pray that we would be a community of faith, and that we would see, Lord, your name glorified through the answered prayers in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.